Ruin dits for breakfast for Chemist Warehouse. This Christmas, head to the home of the big brand fragrances. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Triple M's Ruin Dits for breakfast. From Adelaide to around the world. The top three things you need to know.
See, another restriction's been lifted, Rui. We can have 200 people at a party. I don't know 200 people.
Yeah, and how do you get 200 people into your house and socially distance?
I know.
You know, want a decent pad.
Yeah. How did they pick that number, 200?
Well, I think it's for more for weddings and things at private properties and instead of having to go to functions.
Yep. Fair enough.
But all those things, it's still funny because you can dance it to those sort of things. You can dance it at functions in pubs and stuff.
Yep.
But you can't dance when you go to a pub.
Hang on, say that again.
You can dance at a private function.
Oh, okay. But you can't dance in a pub.
Yeah.
No, there's a big difference.
Work that one out.
I know. Anyway. Hey, tell me about ScoMo and the cricket. What's going
on? Well, we discussed yesterday how January 26th, the cricket that's on that day, has always been known as the Australia Day cricket.
Yep.
Cricket Australia come out and said it's January 26th cricket this year, which is because of all the Indigenous issues with the date. We know all about that. Well, ScoMo has played a straight bat to that.
Well, it's not cricket. That would be my reaction. Look, I think Australian cricket fans would like to see Cricket Australia focus a lot more on cricket and a lot less on politics.
This is why this is just going to go on and on and on. And like, he obviously does not want to change the day, and he just wants people to keep going the way it is.
Look, there's another story this morning I've read about. So a council in Melbourne has announced that on Australia Day, they will have Aboriginal flags at half-mast on their council building. So these stories are going to keep surfacing.
That's divisive, isn't
it? It is. It is divisive. So we need to make a decision once and for all and explain what the decision is and why it's been made. Either we're sticking with it and we're all going to be united and all love each other for whatever reasons on January 26th, or we have to totally change it. But something has to happen.
Otherwise, the exact reason we have Australia Day is to unite and have fun and love the whole country.
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite every year.
Until we do something about it.
So do something about it, everyone.
Yeah.
Please.
Hey, feel a bit sorry for the people in the Adelaide Hills, Roo, organising all their events this weekend. Check your guides. If you were heading to the Crush Festival, not everything's been cancelled, but some events have been cancelled because on Sunday, I think it's 40. Is it
42 in Adelaide?
Yeah. So, you know, harsh conditions, and I know that some things have been called off, which is a bit of a shame because it's always a real, real good festival.
Yep.
So, yeah, just check if you were heading to something in the Adelaide Hills, get online
double
and just
check
see if
that it's still on.
Yeah, if it is still
and
on.
And you can't blame them with all the fires that they had there last year and with northerly winds.
Yeah.
Could easily happen again.
If you get thousands of people up in the hills, you don't want to be trapped up there trying to get back down the freeway. And my favourite story, Roo, over the last 24 hours, the girl that went to court and the magistrate, whose name is Judge Bashir, said, "Hey, this isn't the beach, love." She rolled up in her singlet and her shorts and her thongs. Now, do you have to be dressed up for court? Tell me this, Roo. If I'm a murderer and I put a suit and a tie on, or I go in my shorts and thongs, am I still going to get life or not?
You've better chance of getting let off a little bit than looking like a hobo.
So the judge will say, like the way you're dressed today, but
well, you've gone to some effort.
But you got 20 years.
You've done your hair. If you rocked up with
nice
your
aftershave,
wife beater on and your ripped jeans, I reckon the judge will give you the full penalty.
Yeah. Anyway, but she didn't hold back. The young lady, Jasmine Edwards, I think her name is. But anyway, I don't know. Is it your own right to dress how you want?
I don't know. It is, but I don't think it's going to do you any favours, is it?
Nah, probably not.
Nah. Dress up. Yeah. Do your hair.
The judge. She got on the front foot.
Yeah.
First week back on air, Roo, after a long, long break. So we've been a bit rusty, a little bit scratchy, but have there been any highlights or not?
Oh, a couple.
All right.
That's about it.
Let's find out.
The top five things we've learned on Ruin Dits this week.
Well, Ruin Dits finally decided to come back from holidays.
We are back. How are you, Roo?
No, I'm good, Dits. Good break. It felt abnormally long.
Yep, it was a long break. So long, in fact, Dits doesn't even remember when it started.
When we went on holidays, mid-December, early December, One of the things
might
I did...
Might have been November.
Might have been end of November, okay.
Moving on with the top five things we learnt this week. And number five, we learnt about Roo's new caravan.
We bought a caravan off the side of the road for $3,500, and that's what we've towed around the state. 1981 Viscount Grand Tourer.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking.
What did Roo's wife think of the second-hand caravan?
It was good until you broke the bed on the first night.
Well, that was always going to happen.
Don't come a-knocking if you see this van a-rocking.
Number four, Ditz loves an Adelaide suburb chat.
Two Wells, g'day Lance.
How are you, fellas?
Lance, I ask this all the time. What is the history of Two Wells? Are there, do we know why it's called Two Wells or not?
No, I don't.
Okay, thanks for that. Good on you, Lance.
Okay, that didn't go too well. Got anything on Gummaraka, Ditz?
Last year, Kate and I had to go through Gummaraka.
Oh, what, man?
No, this is fair dinkum. And you know your GPS, right? Gumaracha.
Gumaracha?
I said, gee, we're in Spain all of a sudden.
Gumaracha.
Yeah, so the lady who's talking through the GPS, turn left. And you will come into Gumaracha.
Gumaracha.
Needs to be Aussie-ized a bit, doesn't she? Gumaracha.
Couldn't believe it.
La Gumaracha, La Gumaracha. Number three, we learnt when you know you're getting old.
A couple of young lads, 12 or something like that, and they said, we've seen your face before.
Haven't I seen you on the bloody TV somewhere?
And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I was getting a bit of a head wobble. Still got it. Yeah.
Prosciutto, the hero. Yeah.
And they said, you're a footy commentator, aren't you? I said, yep.
Things change quickly, don't they?
Yeah, you know you're getting old when you're known as a footy commentator.
Oh, yeah.
I've just had a text message from Mrs. Dittmar.
Oh, for God's sake.
You know you're getting old when you go out for dinner for Ditz's birthday and you're at home on the couch in your PJs by 7:45 p.m.
7:45.
That was because of her, not me. I wanted to kick on till 8:30.
Number two, if you think staying up till 8:30 is late, wait till you learn how late Ditz the madman stayed up on New Year's Eve.
I've done this the last couple of years now. Same four couples. We just say, look, at 10 o'clock, it's pretend.
Oh, no.
It's midnight.
That is disgraceful.
Can't wait till midnight. You just pretend. Just go, look, it's 10. All right, it's 10 p.m. Come on, everyone. It's midnight, all right? Kiss, hug. Happy New Year. We all go.
Oh, you've lost it. You have officially lost it.
If you've been drinking all afternoon, it's a long day. It's a long night to get to midnight.
Make out it's midnight. Yeah. Happy New Year. Kiss, kiss. I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You're stuffed. Push yourself. Get through to midnight.
Some of the night. Number one, we learnt Roo is now a bit of a mentor for Darcy Fogarty.
I message Roo a little bit and he gives me a heap amount of support.
I have been a mentor, if you want to call it that, but only loose.
If you need any guidance at all with that mentoring stuff, just remember that I helped Johnny Butcher right through his career. If you want any tips at all...
Gee, you did a great job of teaching him how to kick.
Butcher takes him over the goal square, swings around, he's kicked... to himself.
The top five things we've learned on Ruin Dits this week.
You get another stat doing that.
Thank
very
God
clever.
Johnny Butch is a smart man and successful in the world of financial planning, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Works with Maury Ranger.
That's right.
Rachel Spawn's husband. No, he's a great lad, Butch.
Yeah.
Fantastic bloke.
Unfortunately, right. Got the wrong mentor.
Well done, Sammy Morrison, there on the top five of the week. Ruin Dits on Triple M. Now, Alice has come in. What have you got for us, Alice?
So I was reading this article this morning about, it's because it's Australia Day coming up, and they've put out a test, and it's the National Assessment Program, Civics and Citizenship.
Right.
And they're saying that we're a bit worried because high school students, and especially Year 10 students, don't know much about Australia.
Right.
And our history and all that kind of, you know, who's on this note, all that kind of question.
Oh, yeah.
We're really, really bad at.
Oh. Year sixes were better, weren't they?
Yeah.
They got a better result. I think half of them got passed and the year tens were
all right.
Well, the test revealed it's every 3 years and the recent one revealed that most year 10 boys and girls couldn't even understand the basic parts of how our country works.
No, they're hopeless, these kids.
So then I tried to get the questions up to test you guys and be like, oh, how fun would it be? Because you guys won't understand.
We'll nail this.
I'm 29.
Ooh.
I didn't understand any question on it.
So 91 in year 12.
I've handballed the segment to Mal and I was like, hey, Mal, can you test the guys with these questions?
Right.
So I've picked out five of
this, well, I won't say easy, but you should know them because a lot of them were, you know, what are the seven principles of our democracy, which is pretty wordy.
What? Okay.
So let's leave those be for now.
Leave those easy ones. Give us some of the harder ones.
Well, okay. Here we go.
All right.
Question one. Why is the Reverend John Flynn on the $20 banknote?
Oh, I know, because he's the only straight priest we've ever had.
Well, maybe it's right. I don't know.
I don't know. Who? What's his name?
John Flynn.
Flinny. No, what's,
oh, Flinny.
Do you know what he's done?
Yeah, yeah, he cooks a very good barbecue on Australia Day.
I'm sure he does.
What's
I'm sure
right
he does.
Answer?
He was actually the guy who founded the Royal Flying Doctor Service. He's the one who started it all up. Reverend John Flynn.
Good on
so,
him.
So first he founded the Australian Inland Mission, later separated into the Frontier Services and became the Flying Doctor.
Well, he only had to do mass on a Sunday. He had plenty of spare time.
Heaps of time on
Monday
his hands.
Monday to Friday, yeah.
Should have
well
done,
done
it.
Reverend.
Okay. Simple one. What does the Indigenous flag represent? What does the design on it mean? The colours and the design.
Oh, something to do with the land.
Yeah.
And the sun.
Yeah.
Night time, is it? Dark?
The people. The black.
Oh, okay. Well done, half of it, right?
Very good.
I'll have a half point for that.
What do we commemorate on Anzac Day?
Or the lives of the... Hang on, excuse me, Mr. Dittman.
Oh, that wasn't your buzzer.
Sorry.
All right. Oh, right. Australian New Zealand Army Corps. Is it? So the soldiers from both countries.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Jesus, I'm ripped into $1.10 at the moment.
And you guys are going great. You're doing better than year 10 kids. I'm proud of you. What happened in Australia on the 1st of January in 1901?
We become a nation.
No, sorry. Confederation.
It's federation of our colonies, all coming into one.
Thanks, you. Right.
Federation we'll become a nation.
Give half the information.
2.5 points.
Well, no wonder you guys don't know what's on a $20 note. You carry around pineapples, don't you?
Or celery.
I don't mess around with 20s.
Mm. No.
I waste my time.
So you did pretty well, but there were a lot of
harder... Were they the five?
There's a lot more questions and a lot more things.
Was I 2.5? Alice Nunn Ditz. No.
I got belted by the grandson of an Italian immigrant. Oh, my God.
So there were a lot of other questions. You could see how they'd find it hard.
Well, give us an example of some of the, you know, the crazy ones. Have you got any there or not?
Why free speech is not unlimited?
If it's free, it's... It is unlimited, isn't
no,
it?
No, there are limits on free speech, of course, if you incite violence. Yeah.
What about the one about the tent outside?
Yeah, the Aboriginal Tent Embassy. Why did that come about?
Because...
Well, they were protesting against something.
They were still building...
Land rights.
Yeah, so they'd had enough.
Yeah.
And built their own tent. So there's a few things like that where you go, I know about it, but I don't really know exactly
why. Seven pillars of our democracy.
So it's the rule of law, it's separating church and state.
All right, smart Alec.
No.
I just read it.
Mel's making it. She knows.
Calm your farm.
All right. No, that's a hard test.
Yeah, a lot of it was pretty hard.
Well, the CEO of the Australian Curriculum Assessment Authority.
Oh, shut up, Wig.
He said, it's really disappointing that the results suggest that our next generation isn't demonstrating a sufficient level of understanding of the significance of our history or our democracy or our values.
You're just struggling to read what he said. I don't understand.
I can't really read the words. Inept. I hate this break.
Let's move on.
Celebrate Australia Day.
Oh, no.
Roo and Ditz on Triple M. Roo, we've been talking about vaccines and would you have it and will workplaces make it compulsory and all sorts of things. Well, it's being wheeled out in the UK already.
Sure is.
And a good friend of Alice the Wags is over there. She's a doctor. She's had COVID and has just had the vaccine. We thought it'd be an interesting chat. Dr. Elizabeth, welcome to Triple M.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about when did you get the vaccine and what was the procedure?
So my hospital... started rolling it out a couple of weeks ago and I was in kind of week two of the rollout.
Yeah.
So I got the vaccine last week. Several of the nurses have been doing extra shifts after hours to give injections. And so one of the nurses on my team actually gave me my injection.
Right.
So came into the vaccine clinic and you fill out some paperwork and consent and they talk you through the side effects. I got my vaccine and then they watched me for 15 minutes afterwards to make sure I didn't have a reaction and then off I went.
Now, which vaccine did you actually get and what could be the side effects of it?
So I got the Pfizer vaccine, which is more common in the hospitals, and the side effects are that you can get a fever afterwards, you can get a bit of a sore arm, and you can get a bit achy. But generally speaking, those are quite mild side effects and they go away pretty quickly.
Have you had the side effects or have you been fine?
Yeah, I mean, the vaccine itself didn't hurt at all. I didn't feel it at all, but I got a bit of a sore arm about 6 hours afterwards that sort of went away overnight. Felt a little bit achy the next day, but nothing that I couldn't kind of push through and keep going to work. So, yeah, it was fine.
Is the Pfizer vaccine the one where you're meant to have two injections a certain time apart, but in the UK I've read that they're just going to double the amount of people they give it to, but only having one shot. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. Yeah, so they've just announced at our hospital that we'll get our second shot within 12 weeks instead of within 3 weeks, so that they can get more people vaccinated with the first dose.
And is this on the National Health Scheme? Do you have to pay for this privilege? And I'm just wondering how they'll do it in Australia as well.
Yeah, so it's on the NHS, and so it's free for everyone to get a vaccine here. But they're rolling it out with the most vulnerable first. So they started with the over 80s, I think, and then over 75 and healthcare workers. So that's where I fell in. And this week they've just started rolling it out to older than 70-year-olds, as well as those with pre-existing health conditions that make them particularly vulnerable.
We've seen some shocking footage of hospitals all over the world, to be honest. Give us a bit of a description of how you're going in your hospital.
So the London hospitals are genuinely really full and pretty overwhelmed. I'm sure that you've seen some of the kind of footage of the BBC going in and things, and certainly it's been really difficult for people. I work in a paediatric hospital, so we don't get affected as badly, but a lot of our staff have been redeployed to go and help in other services because they're struggling so much to staff their units with so many patients that they've needed to borrow our staff to actually be able to staff their hospitals.
Do you know people who have died, like friends of yours? Have you got friends that have had the virus? Have they got lasting effects or carrying on sort of effects?
Yeah, so in the first wave, every doctor on my unit got the virus and several, most of the nurses on our ward also got it. And there were a couple of nurses who needed to go to hospital with it. And it was pretty sad in the first wave. We got an email, hospital-wide email every couple of weeks with a staff member from the hospital who had died from it. Yeah, so whether that was someone who worked in a cafe or nurses or, you know, porters from all different levels. The first person in our hospital was a doctor and he got really sick and went to ICU with his COVID. So that was pretty scary for everyone in our centre. Yeah, so I mean, in London, you're never more than sort of one or two people in between you and someone who's died from COVID. Everyone knows someone who's died. So it's, yeah, pretty big and serious here.
You're a qualified doctor. What would you say to people in Australia who are wondering whether they should get the vaccine if they've got an opportunity to?
Oh, I would say get it as soon as you can. It's such an important public health measure, and I would unreservedly say, you know, to absolutely ask questions about how it will affect you, and you know, you are absolutely within your right to be educated about it, but there's no doubt in my mind that it's right for everyone to say yes to accepting the vaccine when they get the chance to have it.
Yep, for sure. Dr. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us. Very, very informative. And yeah, thanks for sharing your experience with us.
That's no problem.
There you go.
Thanks for having me.
As I said, she's a friend of Alice's who we work with here and working in a hospital in London, has had the vaccine. Ruined it's on Triple M.
There's been a lot of talk, Dits, about councils in South Australia, and Caleb Bond from the Advertiser wrote an article the other day about the Adelaide City Council and should we be trying to be more efficient and reduce the number of councils in South Australia and try and be more efficient and spend our money wiser. The Adelaide City Council is in a bit of financial trouble at the moment, and even Sandy Vashour has said that perhaps we need to expand the boundaries there and make the area bigger so that they can be more financially secure.
All right, let's get her on. The Right Honourable Lord Mayor of Adelaide, Sandy Vashaw. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good. How and why have you come up with this idea or this concept?
Oh, look, this has been a discussion that goes, you know, comes back and forth every few years. I responded with my personal opinion to Caleb's piece because I also believe that 68 councils for 1.7 million people are too many. So it's not just my council area I would think that needs a look at. It's all of the council areas in South Australia.
I know. I mentioned a moment ago that Brisbane City Council, I think I'm right in saying, did this a few years ago where they now, took over or
super council.
It's a super council. That's right. And so what you're doing, I guess, is you're amortising all of your costs across many, many departments, aren't you? Instead of having all of those different employees in all of the different councils, you can rationalise it into one central body.
Has it worked up there?
It has worked up in Brisbane. There's different times. When the amalgamations happened in South Australia, which was about 20 years ago, I still think that our state did it better than some of the other states. Brisbane has worked really well. Melbourne's worked very well. So Charles Sturt was an amalgamation of councils, Port Adelaide Enfield was an amalgamation, Nord, Paynham, St Peters. They take a little while to settle down and actually it ends up employing more people, but at different levels. And there's a shared service, less duplication, and it saves money and returns better, you know, community benefits.
Take COVID out of it, take 2020 out of it, out of the Adelaide City Council and perhaps other councils. How many councils are in financial trouble, Sandy?
I can't tell you off the top of my head. I can only talk about my council.
Okay, well, where's the Adelaide City Council? Take the COVID period out of it and how are their finances over the last 5 years prior to COVID?
Look, I think we had a couple of years of what were sort of reasonably small operating deficits, but we've always traded within our prudential limit, which is our limit for borrowing, so we're well below that. And we've been really looking at long-term finances. So in the short term, I think our recovery is in a few years. And then we look further away. So most of the things that have been reported on the other is things that we're looking at in 2030 and onward, where we know, for instance, that we're going to have to do some work with the Torrens Weir. We know we're going to have to do some work on the Adelaide Bridge. And we're just making sure that not just our council, but the councils that come after us, not only know about it, but they've made provision for it. That's what that's about.
So how far would you like to cast this net? If we talk about the Brisbane model of being a super council, how big do you want it to be?
It's not, as I said, it's not necessarily us in terms of the Adelaide City Council, but I think that we should have a look at all of the boundaries. As I said, 68 councils for 1.7 million people, I think, are too many.
Yep.
There are 47, I think, electoral districts for the state government. So it's just having a look at what makes sense, because it's also, if you do amalgamate two councils, whatever those two councils might be, you would need to make sure that the provision of services works across the two councils. So
I guess that's the question that comes up, isn't it? And I've already read some of the other mayors saying this, that if you live in, just pick any suburb out there, will I still get the level of service that I get at the moment and that I need? I guess that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and that would be part of discussion. It's really a discussion. It's a discussion that we should have, and not be afraid to sit down and talk about what is going to deliver the best community benefit, because that's what we're here for in the end.
Yep.
Who makes the decision whether we can have this discussion, and who would make it happen? Is it the Premier?
No, there's the Local Government Boundaries Commission. And so there is a process in place that the LGA has put in place if there was to be a merger between two councils. And the councils would actually go through the process of talking to each other and having consultation, et cetera. So,
that would take a long time to do that, wouldn't it?
The last ones took a long time. All the mergers take a long time because you've got to make sure that they work. You've got to make sure you look after your workers. And And actually, in some areas, it creates more jobs, particularly on the ground.
But isn't that where the problem is, looking after the workers? Don't we need to have less workers at the top in some areas? Isn't that the part of the efficiency?
Well, some of the efficiencies, of course, would be in the high administration or the top administration. But you might find that you need more workers on the ground.
Yeah. Lord Mayor, thanks so much for joining us. Interesting concept.
Thank you, my pleasure.
The Right Honourable Lord Mayor Sandy Vashaw of Adelaide, and yeah, we have seen it work in other places, but as I said, reading over the last couple of days, obviously the other councils at the moment aren't that keen on it. They don't want to put themselves out of a job or out of a position.
Yeah, that's why. How can you have the councils looking at it?
Voting on it, yeah. Needs to be an independent body.
I would have thought.
Rue, a happy ending to that terrible story we talked about earlier in the week.
Yeah, little kid Louis Fontaine wanted a bike. His dad made him save up and do some jobs and earn some money to help buy it. They got the bike. He went on a holiday, come back for a week, was riding it around, stopped for a bit of lunch and got knocked off.
He, like, actually came and stole my bike off me. So, yeah.
So what he just grabbed it and took off?
Yeah, and then I chase him and, like, try to shout to draw attention, but no use.
And how far did you chase him, Lou? That was pretty brave doing that.
Chased him up to, like, around Sturt Road, but then I kind of gave up. I knew that the bike's faster than me, but yeah.
So, the good news is it's been returned.
Yeah, he's got his bike back, which is fantastic. And
someone found it in a park, I think.
Yeah, and contacted them, so that's a happy ending, even though they started a GoFundMe page to try and get his money back. So I think now with that, they're going to either give the money back to the people that pledged it or they're going to donate some to make a wish.
If you read the quotes from young Louis, what a good lad he is. He said, "I've had a very, very lucky life. I'm very fortunate. Please donate the money to the Make-A-Wish Foundation or you can take your money back." What a good kid.
Yep, he sounds like a ripping kid and... a happy ending.
Unlike when I got my bike stolen from, when I was playing footy at Riverside in the under 14s, and on the Sunday when we played, and it was my brand new bike. I got it for my birthday, and then on
brand new stolen bike
on the Sunday, the captain of my team rode my bike in, and one of the other lads said, "There's your bike." So-and-so's got, I said, "Yeah, I know, but he's a bit bigger and tougher than me." So I just let him have it.
Oh,
he said, "Go." He said, "You've got to go in front of him and get your bike back." But I was too scared to. So.
Fair dinkum. Oh, that's weak, dude.
I know.
That is weak.
So he's still riding around on my bike. Roo, out and about yesterday, I lost count of how many different places I went into, and you do the old QR code as you enter. Are you still good at it? Are you diligent with your QR code?
Inconsistent.
And that's why I raised this, because it made me think yesterday, not one person stopped me or looked at me doing it, or in other words, it's unchecked. It's up to you really now whether you walk in and do it or not.
Has been the whole time.
No. So when I was Christmas shopping back in December, a lot of shops, for example, in Rundle Mall, there was a monitor at the door. So they were making sure you do it. That's all gone by the wayside. We've become slack with it.
Yep, well, definitely. There's no doubt about it. As we've got on top of that cluster, it's really shut down, isn't it?
We have seen what I would describe as an element of complacency.
The police commissioner revealing QR codes are scanned 1 million times a day in South Australia across 43,000 locations, but he is concerned the figures are faltering.
It's an obligation on everybody. You must check in. Businesses must make sure that their patrons are using it. So if everyone does the right thing, we can keep doing what we're doing in South Australia.
Nah, it's definitely out the window. As I said, no one's checking at all. You can just walk in and out and no one knows whether you've checked in or not.
No. And but as you said, it's up to the individual. Yeah. My hand's up. I don't do it all the time. I probably do it 50% of the time, to be honest, I reckon.
Yeah, well, when you get COVID, don't come running to us and go, there you go. Alistair Wack.
Look me in the eye and tell me you've done it every place you've been.
Yeah. Almost, yeah. No, I have.
Every place.
Yeah, I do it. They're the rules. I've definitely done it.
When you've come into the building here, do you do it in the morning?
I haven't seen a code here. Is there one or not?
Well, it's a building. Why wouldn't you have to do it? What about when you go into Freddy's in the morning in the coffee shop?
I haven't been in there this week.
Yeah, you haven't stepped in foot in there?
No.
Gee.
No, but yesterday's an example. I went many places yesterday. What are you, the bloody police or something?
No.
I went everywhere yesterday and I did it.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh. Alice the Wag.
I will admit I have not been doing it a lot.
Alice.
Not because I don't like it. One is because I totally forget. Like walking to the supermarket or a petrol station, I do not think about it. Because you're just in your head.
No.
What?
You just said you don't do it either.
Yeah,
you're
I know,
so
but
harsh.
You're making out, coming up with the reasons why. I've heard a little rumour from someone else in the Triple M offices that you fake it. You just put your phone up to make out you look like you've done it, and then you don't even follow through and click, click, click.
That is terrible.
Okay, I want to. It was once that I faked it, and I was in a massive, massive rush, and I saw the girl looking at me, so I just quickly put my phone up and then, like, ran on.
Guilty.
Yeah, very guilty, very bad person.
Actually, the other thing about it, this too, I heard a story during the break on radio. I was listening to radio, and someone got picked up. A bloke rang a girl. So you know when you write down, you haven't got your phone, so you write down your name and your number. And a bloke was watching this girl and she was hot, wrote down her number. So he went up after her and took the number, took a photo of it, Well, he did. So then privacy issues come into play.
COVID pickup line.
COVID pickup.
Maybe I should start checking in places.
Go.
Hello, boys.
Yeah. So forget the old QR. Write down your phone number.
It's like the new age Tinder.
There it is.
Yeah. I think a fair few people aren't doing it all the time.
Yeah. But no, we've gone slack. And also with the hand washing and the sanitizer now, I reckon everyone's just letting it go.
What do you mean you've gone slack with hand washing? I feel like that's something you should always do.
No, I haven't. I'm saying people in general. I don't think, we're nowhere near as diligent as we were.
Sarah laughed at me the other week. I went to wash my hands. All I did was turn the tap on for about, I reckon, 2 seconds. Water goes off and I just go, ding, ding, ding. She goes, do you reckon that washed the germs off there? You know, I could see them washing off with a little bit of water.
You counted them, didn't you, as they died?
Down the drain, you go.
Yeah. Anyway, people, come on, get back with the QR codes. We need it happening. All right, Ruined, it's here on Triple M. Alice, in the morning meeting, you were reading an article to us about a girl who has been to see a psychic.
Yep.
And what's the story?
Well, it's a numerologist? Yes, where they look into all the numbers of your life.
Yes, I understand that.
I'd never heard of it before. So it was essentially just an article where she's gone into a boardroom to have this meeting with a numerologist and has found out that she won't meet the love of her life until she's 45.
Right.
And she's burst into tears, and for the entire day she had to leave work because she couldn't stop crying.
Right.
And so I was telling you guys this, and then we started talking about crying.
She cried because the numerologist told her that, or because she knows, because she writes stupid columns that she wrote.
I think she's sad because she wants to find a boyfriend.
The numerologist, the numerologist predict that she was going to cry uncontrollably.
So then we were talking because you guys were like, oh, how silly that you're going to cry over something that a numerologist has said.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was saying, I would definitely cry if someone told me that I wouldn't find a partner in 10 years. Like, that is hard to hear.
Why would you necessarily believe it?
Well, exactly. So then we were talking about how stupid it is how much girls cry.
Yes.
And then we started talking about, well, boys cry too.
I'm a cryer. Yeah. I'm a bit, like that.
What's the silliest?
I get emotional. Even like making a speech at a family birthday or something. I don't know why. I just lose it terribly. I'm hopeless like that.
Well, you really sob up, or just you have to? Do you?
I have to stop.
Your lips wobble.
Yeah, wobble. All of that. I cry in movies. I cried last. I went and saw the Bee Gees movie last week, and I cried. The Bee Gees.
You cried at the Bee Gees movie.
It reminded me of my childhood playing the records, you know, with my brothers back when we were little. I just thought of all the fond memories in my.
But you've had a brother pass away. That's why.
Yeah, but that was a bit emotional. But I just, you know, the Bee Gees started singing.
Oh,
Kate looked over and said, "Are you crying?"
No.
I don't. I don't.
You've got to well up.
Yeah, that is. I'm here to get through the show.
We've had a few lunches where Ditz and I have stayed after and had a few wines together and cried and hugged each other.
Oh, no.
Oh, we have
what
not.
What is going on with
we
you
have
two?
So.
Over what?
At the Guardsman. I was telling you about life a bit and we both just burst into tears. Do you not remember that?
No.
Oh. You both burst into tears?
Yeah, we cuddled each other for a while.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
It was sad.
Oh, God.
What, do you not cry, Ruth?
I actually cried yesterday.
Over what?
Oh. Afterpay shares hit $150.
And the ones that we didn't buy.
I was going to buy them at 36. And if you do the, don't need a numerologist to work out that that's $114 difference. And I just can't get over it. But anyway, I've got two of my best mates. I won't say their names, but the female, the wife, wanted to buy Afterpay shares in the COVID crisis. They went down to $8, right? $8. They're now
$149.
Mm. She said to her husband, come on, let's buy a couple. Everyone's using it. They're going to continue to use it. And with all this stimulus money, people will be outside buying it. He said, no. You'll get them at seven. They didn't go down. They're now $150. And that marriage is on very thin ice, to say the least, at the moment. They're about to do a house renovation. I think they could have paid for it with Afterpay.
Mm. No doubt.
Yeah. No, yeah. I cry in movies too. Yeah. Like you get soft as you get older. There's no doubt about that. As soon as you have kids, you start crying. And we watched a movie called Eddie the Eagle.
What?
Yeah. Hugh Jackman was in it. Great movie. Anyway, very emotional movie. Oh, watching it, I think I shed a few tears that night. And then, bloody, last night, I was just flicking around and Braveheart was on. What a tearjerker that is, dear.
Braveheart?
Mel Gibson, William Wallace, his sidekick. I think his name's Hamish, isn't it? The big red-headed bloke with dreadlocks.
Yeah.
When his dad died, was that a sad scene in the movie? Poor.
What are you laughing for?
Well, like, trying to laugh so I don't start crying again now. You know how you
When was that?
That must have been a while ago.
So if you haven't seen that movie, Hamish's dad dies, all right?
Oh, everyone's seen Braveheart.
Well, I haven't.
If you haven't seen Braveheart now, bad luck.
Righto, silliest thing that makes you cry, 133353. Ruined it's here on Triple M. Yep. The silliest thing that makes you cry.
No, everyone, lots of blokes Everyone's cry. They blub. Just don't talk about it. 133353. We've got a $100 voucher to give away. Let's head down to Aldinga. G'day, Shannon.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Good. You cry a little bit here and there, do you?
Yeah, I can't look at photographs. I can look at them on a digital format, but a physical photograph, I cannot do it.
So
it doesn't matter if it's a family photo, a photo of anything. I can't do a physical photograph.
Surely it's got to have some sad meaning to make you cry, or some, you know,
sentimental.
Happy
I don't know what it is. Ever since I was a little kid, like, you know, 3 to 5 in that sort of era, from then on, I don't know what it is. Something must have happened in that sort of period that's been a bit traumatic. And yeah, since then, I cannot look at a photograph.
Well, even if it's hasn't got a happy or sad sort of...
Doesn't matter what it is. Any sort of physical photograph, I cannot do it. I can do digital format, like anything on social media or a telegram, anything on a phone.
Have you sought help for
physical
this?
Photo, no good.
Have you sought psychological help?
Mate, I'm well beyond that.
You better throw out all your photo albums then.
That's going one of those for Christmas.
Oh, that's going to be hard to beat. 133353. Tell us the silliest thing you've cried over.
One of the silly things that make you cry.
Yeah, whether you're looking at photos or...
There you go. There's a song for Shannon, mate. If you're still listening.
Oh, no. Make him cry. Or if it's, you know, having a cuddle with Alice, or if you're looking at the share market going up and you didn't buy a share. Let's go to Dover Gardens. G'day, Greg.
G'day, boys. Morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Greg.
What makes you cry, Greg?
Yeah.
Well, when I hear the last post...
Now, Greg, I'm with you here. I'm the same.
I cry every Anzac Day.
Yeah, every time I hear it, particularly, you know, I went through a military funeral too. That's the worst. They really played at the end. It's a real tearjerker.
Do you have any connection? Did you go to Vietnam or anything like that, or any family members?
I didn't go to Vietnam, but I did 18 years in the reserves, so I've sort of been in the military around. And
Yep, sure.
You know, seen a lot of those mates that have been to Vietnam and all the rest. So,
yeah. No, Greg, I'm absolutely on the same page.
I cry on those days because I just think of what it would be like to the mums and dads watch their 18, 19-year-old sons just go and get slaughtered.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
How bad that would have been and how tough it was back then. Let's go to Glenelg. G'day, Lee. Let's go to Barossa. G'day, Dwayne.
How you going, lads?
Good, Dwayne. You shed a tear every now and then?
Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing. I've copped a few punches in the head over my life and that does nothing to me.
Yeah.
Yet my kids show me a bloody sad dog video on Facebook and I'm howling.
Dwayne. What? And someone else's dog? You got no connection to the dog? And
no.
Yeah, you're a real dog man, are you?
Oh, I do love my dog, yeah, but still, the kids do it just to take the piss these days.
Yeah, but why do you cry? Like, have you got a memory of your dog dying or something that just flashes back?
Yeah, it's stuff happening to dogs or lots of happy stories, you know what it's like.
Okay, Dwayne, well, okay, thanks for sharing that one. Let's go down to Yankalilla. G'day, Wes.
Here you go, fellas, there you go.
Good, Wes. When do you shed a tear?
Yeah, well, when I finish the farming day's work and I get inside of a night and the kids and the missus are there sitting watching Little House on the Prairie, and even about 2 minutes, I'm howling my eyes out. You know?
Big, tough farmer, and you're crying over that.
Yeah, I know. It's all make-believe and bullshit, but yeah, the full thing is
What do you like when you watch the Waltons?
Oh, I'm really bloody similar, I suppose, but no, I've never watched that. But yeah, and I suppose, you know, Michael Langdon died when he's 50 of cancer or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but yeah, I don't know why. The kids would be there laughing at me, the missus would be poking fun at me, so... Yeah.
God, we got a lot on our plates. Where's us blokes? That's why we just
how do we cope?
It's hard work.
Yeah. There's too much pressure, Wes. That's it. Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, Catherine.
Hi. My husband, he used to coach my son in junior football.
Yeah.
My son's now 23. And when he was doing the best player awards back at the club on a Saturday night, he would often cry.
No. Well, not when your lad got in the best players, when what, any of the players or?
No, just any. And they still remind him of it now.
Well, because he was just so proud of their performance.
Yep.
Oh. How cool is that?
Gee, he was passionate about the job, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he certainly was.
Good, Catherine.
That's a good story.
Beautiful. That's a crack field. Yeah.
So this is for the Slape & Son $100 voucher. Now, check it out for Australia Day for your barbecue. Premium sausages made right here in South Australia, available at your local supermarkets as well. Who are you going to go with, Ru?
I reckon I'm going to go to Dwayne from the Barossa Valley. Yeah,
his dog.
The dog videos, yeah. We'll give it to Dwayne.
All right.
Good on you, Dwayne-o.
To start 2021, Ru and Dits are giving Adelaide the chance to do something they've never done before. We present Triple M's 40-year-old virgins. Stay cool with an Automasters aircon service. Call 1300 Automasters.
We go from the sublime to the ridiculous. So we've had people jump out of an aeroplane today. This is a little bit different, Ru.
Yeah, it sure is. The old 40-year-old virgin contest, where it's a chance to tick something off your bucket list. We had a lady called Maria wanting to dive into a pool full of M&Ms.
You've got to be kidding. Let's go down to Selex Beach. Johnny, one of our street teamers, is down there to set all of this up. How are you, Johnny?
I'm very good, boys. Nah. I'm ready to go.
All right, you got to speak into your microphone there, Johnny.
I am.
All right, no, it's not working. All right, let's go straight to Maria. Hello, Maria.
Oh, morning, guys. How are we?
All right, good. Now, set the scene for us. We've actually got you live on camera here, Maria, so people can watch this. What are we doing? Is it
Triple M Instagram.
Thank you. Great. I knew it was one of those things. So we can actually, the whole world can see you right now, Maria, in your bathtub. Awesome. So tell us, how many kilos of M&Ms have you got in that bath?
It's about 140 at the moment.
140 kilograms.
How many have you eaten already? Have you had a little nibble?
I have had the blue ones, and I threw the yellow ones back in the bath.
All right. Now, okay. What is this fascinating? Do you eat M&Ms every day of your life, do you?
Just about.
Yeah. Yes.
So what are you going to do with all the M&Ms afterwards, because you are keeping them?
Well, it's going to be hot weekend, so they're going to melt, so I can use it as a bath again and just exfoliate.
Oh, beautiful. Lay in a bath of chocolate.
This could be a new thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Beautiful. All right. Now, have you taken a dip yet in the bath?
I'm about to.
All right, go
I've
for it.
I've got my bathrobe, I've got my nail polish and my iced coffee, I've got muffins, I've got grapes, I'm all set, guys.
Beautiful.
Right. I'm a lady of luxury today.
All right, well, put the microphone down and lay down in the bath of M&Ms
for
us.
Done.
Actually, yeah, go on. 140 kilograms of M&Ms, Ru.
I don't know. Where you buy 140 kilos of M&Ms from? Here we go, tipping the bucket in right now to get another 20, 30, 40 kilos.
Oh, God. They are, they're tipping them all over. She is wallowing in a sea, bathing in a sea of M&Ms. All right, we might leave them to it down there, down at Selig's Beach. Enjoy it, Maria. Enjoy the M&Ms over the weekend. Right, now, is it everything you hope for? What's it feel like laying in that bath?
I'm just indulging in the blue and the red M&M's.
Right. Get Johnny to feed them to you. Get Johnny to feed them to you.
Oh, Johnny. Yeah, Johnny, you can feed me the blue M&M's.
There you go.
Just get rid of the red.
Beautiful.
Orange M&M's, great. This All is right. awesome. This is. I'm just going to get my nails done at the same time.
Okay.
Beautiful. Very nice. You have a good.
Oh, I missed.
They're throwing him in the mouth.
All right. Yeah, all right. All thanks we'll leave you to it. Automasters as well. Stay cool with an Automasters aircon service. Call 1300 Automasters.
And you can register if there's anything you want to do. As I said, it can be crazy, it can be normal, whatever. Yeah, register now. The 40-year-old virgins here at Triple M.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, favorite. Number one show on TV by a country mile.
I used to be a celebrity and I still want 8 minutes of fame on TV or something. That's
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, and yeah. You say you hate it and you hate reality TV, but gee, when they rang up, you were asking questions like a very, very interested man who wanted to go on.
I was.
Oh,
not.
Do I have to go nude? Or do I? Or I suppose I could get used to it.
Please.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it'd be funny or not, but no, we've done the research and people want you
all right,
show.
Anyway. Okay,
you know that show, don't you?
Yes, yes,
anyway,
yes, yes.
Little update. We had Grant Denyer on the other day saying how he knocked back Pamela Anderson, which, I'm not sure if it's real or not, but anyway, he did it and he shouldn't have. Although he's probably married at the time, so he probably should have.
Yeah.
That's right.
I guess, yeah.
Grant Denyer's back in the news last night. I'll just set the scene. So food in the jungle is absolute premium. They are starving in there. They don't get much food at all. And the food they get can be crocodile feet, could be, honestly, they've eaten penis.
The menu's not that good.
Things like that. It's shocking stuff. Mm. They've all sorts of concoctions. It's not
good. What'd you say they've eaten?
Penises. Yeah, they have.
Who hasn't?
Oh, no.
Who hasn't?
Anyway, move on.
Move on, I think. Anyway, food's a premium. And Big Dipper was Colin Fasnich, you know, the Irish chef. He was out doing an event or whatever they call them, and where you get to go and get the food. But so Dipper was in charge of cooking the rice.
Mm-hmm.
Dipper fell asleep while he was cooking the rice and burnt it, right? So and come back and he thought, oh, gee, I'll try and salvage this. If I get the charcoal out by straining it in this little Hessian bag I've got, I might be able to warm it up and use it again. So he's done that. But then when he served it up, it's got hair in it. Anyway, the people are losing it. They're starving and they've cracked it at Dipper a little bit, right?
Right.
Dipper said, I'm sorry. I fell asleep. I'm sorry. I put my hand up. I made a mistake. Grant Denyer wanted to keep going a little bit too much.
It tastes like it was drained through his dirty sock. Hey, Dip, that food's no good, man. We can't afford to miss a meal. I think if we're on cooking duties, we need to be up and awake.
Look, do you think I was out of place in saying that maybe if
no, we're cooked... out of place, you just felt what you just said what you felt. It's okay. And I took it personally. It's okay.
None of us want to lose an entire meal, that's all.
No. But say one more time, I'll come and see you over there.
Are you serious?
Here's the line. Let's just leave it at that, all right?
All right.
Virginia, you're a beautiful person, and I know you're a little bit angry at me, but...
I'm not, mate, I'm not. I all I did was said that, and I'm happy with we're just saying, let's just keep our eye on the food when we're cooking, that's all.
This is awkward. It's in front of everyone. I think it's serious.
Yeah, so, oh, well, it's all good.
It was
good,
getting a bit testy,
good,
was it?
But don't do it again.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it wasn't far off. But, they're at the point where they're tired, emotional, hungry.
Yeah.
Just starting to get at each other's throats.
And he must be going silly because I wouldn't pick Dipper if I'm Grant Denyer.
No, it was the lion v. the mouse in the jungle there. But they're going to start evicting people soon. So a little bit of interest in I'm a Celebrity. Join in, mate.
All right.
On Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Hello.
Get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm Mr. Rare.
It's time for Roo's Tip of the Week.
You got one job to do, Roo.
Give
us a winner.
All right,
please.
I'll do my best. Now, just bear in mind, what's the temperature tomorrow?
Oh, well, how's that relevant? The horse doesn't know that.
What, you don't reckon the horse feels the heat?
Well, it doesn't know. It just runs. The gate's open and it runs.
No, they don't. Some people perform in the heat, some don't. And they've bought the
horses. Aren't watching the news tonight, going, I'm waiting for the weather. Are they?
Well, when they wake up and they go out to Gawler tomorrow and the races start at 10:30 instead of after midday because the heat's on, I go, geez, something's different.
Okay.
But I'm hoping the horse that I've picked out enjoys the summer conditions. Race 7, number 9, there's a horse called Maybe Fate. Forget it ran last time, lost its irons, ditz, so come 7th, forget about that. Okay. Can't run with them. And the start before
It found him again?
Yes.
Okay.
Got the gear perfectly in position. The start before comes second, just beaten and had excuses as well. So I think tomorrow there'll be no excuses.
Okay.
Other than the heat. And I think it can get the chocolates. There's been a few scratchings in the race. There's only 8 in the race. Race 7, number 9, Maybe Fate. You can get about $4 at the moment. About $2 for the on the nose.
All right.
All right.
Good on you. Good way to finish the week, Roo.
Yeah, hopefully.
Enjoy the long weekend, everyone. Many, many people will be taking Monday off. For those that aren't, we're here. We're here on Monday. So join us again, 6 o'clock Monday morning right here on Triple M. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Catch you later.
Ruin tits aren't worried Christmas is just around the corner. Why? Because they don't buy people presents, they're tight asses. Because Chemist Warehouse has you covered. Get them a gift they'll love at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.